We're getting back from the feast. It's always it's exciting because we see a new year ahead of us. We're fed all of the spiritual food we could handle, we could take in at the feast. And now we come back to our local areas, and it's put back on us to take what we learned and to grow spiritually from it. The title of my message today is Growing Spiritually by Keeping God's Commandments. As Christians, none of us ever support anything that is in direct conflict with God's truth. We just don't do that. We support God's truth. We support God's law because we know that's the way to happiness, to peace, to everything that God has to offer us. So by keeping the feast, the last great day, we should have all been convinced that God's way of life is the right way of life. You know, what a pleasure it was. We had the opportunity to keep the feast up in Midland, Ontario. What a pleasure it was to be away from the TV, all of the negative babbling from the news media, and the political attacks from the candidates themselves. We didn't hear that. We didn't turn the TV on. We just were enjoying the time away. I almost forgot about the shameful actions of our two choices for the highest office in the world until some of the Canadian brethren reminded me. What's happening down there in your country? What's going on? Because what happens here really affects them as well. They're concerned, but they're also amazed that a political contest of this importance can be something that is so negative and just so divisive to a country. But enough talking about something we have no control over, and thankfully God does. And God will allow the person to be in office that is according to His will and that fits His plans. So we don't really have to worry about that. But getting back to what is most important in our lives as Christians, as part of the body of Jesus Christ, what's most important in our lives today, tomorrow, and for the rest of our lives? The most important thing in our life is how we choose to live. What we do, the decision we make, that's what's important. Did you and I take notes of the important messages we heard at the feast? I'm not a note taker. I can only do one thing at a time. I can listen or take notes. And if I take notes and don't listen, I don't know what my notes mean. So I rely on Barb to take notes. She does an excellent job. And that allows me to listen to the messages. But did we take in what we heard? The important messages. Take in that important spiritual food that God was giving to us. Did you and I make an effort to get to know our brothers and sisters in Christ? We talked about that before the feast, how important it is for us to make that effort, to us to take that first step with our hand outstretched to meet new people. Our brothers and sisters in the faith. Did we do that? Did you and I grow spiritually from attending the feast this year? We are the only ones that can really evaluate that. Did we grow spiritually from attending the feast? Did we do anything differently at the feast this year to help us grow spiritually that we've never done before? Or did we do the same old thing? Are we already planning for the feast next year? And I don't mean the location. A lot of nice locations around the world, but that's not the important reason why we're at the feast. I'm talking about what we plan to do to help our spiritual growth next year at peace, because that's what's important. We have a year to make those plans. We have a year to think about things. We have a year to make progress in our spiritual growth. Matthew 7:20 says, "Therefore, by their fruits you will know them." What will people know about us by the fruits that we produce? What will they think of us? What will be their conclusion as to who we are? Did you and I come back from the feast ready to begin a brand new year, leaving behind the negative attitudes, the anger towards a brother or sister in the church, in or out of the church? Have we asked God to give us wisdom and strength to deal with the stresses of daily life, because life is stressful? And it's going to get more stressful. And we need God to help us to get through each and every day. Have we asked God to help us to be forgiving towards those who may have offended us? And to once and for all drop that guilt, that heavy feeling, that burden that we carry around with us. And forgive those who have offended us. To begin a new year. I pray that we have all done these things, because that's what Christians do. That's our obligation, brethren, to do that. That's our responsibility to do that. Each one of us. John 13, if you turn there with me, please. John 13. John chapter 13. And in verse 34, a very familiar verse. John 13 and verse 34, a new commandment I give you. Jesus Christ telling us here something He's given us, a gift, but also a guideline that we're to do. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Remember, we're to follow that example of Jesus Christ, and He says here He loves us. And if we want to be like Christ, if we want to follow in His footsteps, then we love one another. That's what He's telling us here. And in verse 35, by this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. That fruit that we produce, the people will see, the people will notice. There's something different about these folks. They really care for each other. We can't just continue to say the words. We can't continue to just talk the talk. We must grow in real godly love for each other. The feast up in Midland was attended by many members who are getting older. And they will freely talk about, as I'm sure many of us do as we get older. Time certainly goes by quickly. I wished I would have done this. I wished I would have done that. I wished I would have been a kinder person, more loving, more forgiving, more outgoing, more compassionate, more like Jesus Christ. And we say now that we're getting older, I wish I would have been and done all of those things. But we think more and more about changes we need to make in our lives to be more like Jesus Christ. What can I do as I get older? None of us in God's church should ever put off until tomorrow the changes we need to make today. We can't do that anymore. It doesn't work. Because those days turn into weeks, months, years, decades. It happens. But if we've taken in the teaching that we received at the feast, and we put that into practice in our lives, we will grow spiritually. We will overcome. We won't be the same person attending the feast 2017 as we were the person attending the feast in 2016. We will have grown. But that's a decision we have to make, each one of us. Keeping the Feast of Tabernacles reminds us that we are truly a family of God's children. Not one of us, nobody, zilch, would be attending the feast without first being called and sanctified by our Creator God. That means God called each and every one of us for a purpose. We did none of this of ourselves. It was God that has given us this opportunity. So as we begin a new year, and I say a new year, I'm talking about from one feast to another, let's look over God's law and give ourselves a quick evaluation of how we are spiritually growing in the way we individually, personally keep the Ten Commandments. Exodus 20, if you turn there with me. Exodus 20. We're all familiar with these commandments. We talked about before, these are the boundaries that God puts around His children. These are the do's and don't do's. As a parent gives her children and instructs their children. And God does that with us. Exodus 20 and verse 1. Exodus 20 and verse 1 says, "And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me." None. No other gods. Do you and I have other gods that can at times take the place of the one true God? Only you and only I can answer that. But do we allow that to happen? Our job. Is our job more important than God? Are our material possessions more important than God? Is our family, our friends, more important than God? If they are, we've got some work to do. Because God should be, always, without a doubt, number one in our lives. We made that commitment at baptism, that God would be, without a doubt, number one in our lives. So we cannot replace Him. Nor should we want to replace Him. But to always have God at the center of everything we do, that's His place. And that's where you and I, as His children, should keep Him at all times. Never allowing anything to make God anything less than number one in our lives. And we go on in verse 3. "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make yourself any carved image or any likeness or anything that is in heaven above, that's in the earth below, or that is in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments." Do we have idols that we worship? Something that's just so important, a new car, that shiny new car with all the gadgets, a big house, better than anybody else's in the neighborhood. Probably better than anybody else's in the city. A husbands could say, I've got the best looking wife in the world. Nobody better looking than my wife. Or the wife could say that. Or the girl could say that about her boyfriend. Or the boyfriend could say that about her girlfriend. And they really idolize and put them before God. What about an education? Do we allow our education to be put above God? That we're so locked into our education that we put that before our relationship with God. We don't have time for God because we're so busy being educated. Being the smartest person in the room, we have to be careful not to worship any idol, no matter what it is, in place of our God. Simple things, but they have a lot to do with our spiritual growth. We have to be careful. But this is what we should be evaluating as the year goes on. We evaluate ourselves as Christians. How are we doing? What areas do we need to grow in? In verse 7, it says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord your God will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Do we take God's name in vain? Do we honor and glorify God with every breath that we have? In everything that we do, we give God credit, as Jesus Christ did. Gave his Father credit for everything. Never belittling his Father. Never using his name. Or falsely representing who he was. But always respectfully giving God the glory for who he is. And everything that Jesus Christ did was credited to the Father. Do we do that? Do we thank God every day for the blessings we have because we can look around and know certainly they didn't come from anywhere else? Only from God. Keeping the Feast of Tabernacles is a blessing from God. Keeping today, God's Holy Sabbath Day, is a blessing from God. Do we thank God for that and honor Him for that? Or do we like some have in the past, complain about, man, the Sabbath, man, I got to drive 3 hours and it's a long way and I'm tired. Probably heard the message 20 times. That's human nature. We have to be careful to thank God. Thank you for letting me drive those 3 hours to be here. Thank you for providing such a beautiful room for us to have services. And the people that you brought me together with so that we can share and talk and fellowship and grow to love each other more. Thank you, God, for that blessing. Never taking the Lord's name in vain. And we go on in verse 8, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is a tough one. This is a tough one for the world, but it can't be a tough one for God's people. It shouldn't be, but it is. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. It is special to God. And it should be special to us. The world has no idea what it's missing by not keeping the Sabbath, not having this special time with God. One day they will. But brethren, it's up to you and me to let our light shine as Christians, keeping the Sabbath day, showing the joy and sharing the joy that we have, keeping this day, and how blessed we are to keep this day. To let people see the fruits of that. And that they never hear us say anything negative about the Sabbath. Only positive things. Thanking God for the gift. And how blessed we are to be here. Psalms 111 and verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom." Just the beginning. And we feared our mom and dad. We had a healthy fear for them. Not in a bad way. But we knew if we didn't obey them, if we broke the rules, something was going to happen that was not going to be in our favor. That should be our fear toward our Heavenly Father. He's laid down some rules for our protection and for our best. And if we choose to ignore those rules or not keep those rules, there's penalty. Just like there would be with our mother and father. But if we fear God and we fear Him in the right way, that's the beginning of wisdom, of understanding, of knowledge. That we understand what God has given you and I here. This special calling out of a sinful, troubled, disorganized, chaotic world. God has given us a calling so that we understand that that's not all there is. Brethren, if that's all there is, if all we've got out there is these two people that are going to be the next, one of them is going to be the next leader of this country, and that's all we have, wow, are we in trouble. But it goes far beyond that, and we have that understanding. In the Sabbath, coming together here to learn and to worship and to hug each other and cry together and laugh together, spend this precious time together. That's part of that fear. That's part of that wisdom. Coming here to honor God, thanking Him for this special gift of keeping His Sabbath day. Each Sabbath service is held to provide a place where you and I can come together to be taught God's way. To learn more, to be fed more. And to gain an understanding, to become a better spiritual person. To grow in the knowledge and grace of God. Keeping God's Sabbath day holy. The world has trouble with that. And you wonder why. Why would anybody have a problem taking time off and resting and enjoying everything that God has provided us with? But they do. Satan is a powerful being and convince people that there's something wrong with that idea. But to God's calling and mercy, we understand God's reason for His Sabbath day. Verse 12. Honor your father and your mother that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God has given you. Can you imagine that? God rewards us for loving our mom and dad. Wow. That's amazing. But that's important to God. God's a parent. He knows that love and how important that love is. Many of us no longer have our parents. And when we hear the messages on the last great day, we tear up. We get emotional. Because we hear messages talking about one day you and I will be able to be with our parents again. To put our arms around them like we should have done when we were together with them. And to cry together. And to welcome them into God's kingdom. I know I don't need to spend much of my eternal life apologizing to my mom for all of the stupid things I did. It's going to take, that may take the whole eternity, however long eternity goes. But what a joy it is to think I'm going to have that opportunity. And the opportunity to tell her, hey, Ma, guess what I've been blessed with? God's truth. And I want to share that with you. What a future God's given us. And I can only pass on to young people, and I say young people, but older people as well, because a lot of older people still have their parents living. Cherish that time. Take advantage of that time, because your parents aren't perfect, and they will be the first ones to tell you that. But they love you more than any other human being ever will. Don't waste a minute letting them know how much you love them and care for them. Very important to God. And He gives that knowledge to you and me. And He rewards us for it. Gives us that little extra incentive to love our parents. Verse 13, you shall not murder. We know that. But even though we would never kill another person, can we seriously damage their life by our actions? We sure can. What we say about another person can either build them up or tear them down. Just listen to what we are hearing from the political candidates. And some of these things that have been said or done will last a lifetime far beyond this political race. The damage is done. That happens a lot in the workplace where a rumor starts about a particular worker. May not be one little speck of truth to it, but the rumor is out there. The gossip starts. The person's reputation is ruined. Damage is done. They weren't killed. They weren't murdered. But they were still destroyed. By someone's mouth. By words. So we don't shoot someone or kill someone. We don't do that. But we shouldn't do that with our mind, our mouth, or any other way either. We uplift other people as God lifts us up. When we're down, when we're struggling, God doesn't come around and hold us down on the ground. Kick us while we're down. He lifts us up. And that's what we should be doing to each other. Lifting each other up. James 4, if you turn there with me. James chapter 4. James chapter 4. James chapter 4 and in verse 10. James 4 in verse 10, it says, humble yourselves. God's talking to you and I. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He will lift you up. God knows we have weaknesses. God knows we struggle. But He's saying, humble yourselves before me. I'll help you. I'll help you to get through this. I'll help you to get over this. I'll help you to become a better person. If we're living our lives in a humble way, as we're told to do, we will want to lift each other up instead of tearing each other apart. We will do that. Because that's what Christians do. Let's go back to Exodus 20. Exodus 20. And in verse 14, you shall not commit adultery. Now this is physical, but it can also be spiritual. When we stood before God and we made a covenant with our spouse, with God as our witness, and we'll be faithful and true till death do us part. We meant that. When we were ready to be baptized, and we were asked, do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And we said, yes, we meant that. No one else, no other gods other than God. No other Savior other than Jesus Christ. But over time, marriages all across this world have broken down. All across this world, faith in God has broken down. We made that commitment to not physically commit adultery. We made that decision. We also made that decision spiritually. Are we living up to that? Are we doing our part? Because it all falls back on our shoulders. Are we doing our part? I ask people many times, especially a husband and a wife, about praying together. Do you pray together? Many times the answer is no. Why? Why not? Why aren't you praying together? That's my question, not only to them, but to myself. Many times, and I think I've shared this before, Barb and I will get up in the morning, and it's usually me, but my day's not getting off to a good start. Maybe I'm cranky. Maybe I'm just in my own world and not paying attention to her, and I have to think about it and go back in the bedroom and get on my knees and ask God for a restart. Because I screwed this first one up. And God will be there to do that. We have to do those things. We have to include God, not only in our physical marriage, but we have to include Him in our physical or our spiritual marriage. If we're not doing so well in either, ask God, help me to see what I need to do. Help me to overcome my weaknesses. Help me to grow spiritually. God will always be there for us. But again, it's on our shoulders. It's our responsibility to take that first step to do those things. Verse 15. You shall not steal. You know, in today's mentality, people could look at something and say, you know, I don't have the money to get that. I don't deserve that, but there it sets. I'm going to take it. That's the mindset of many around the world today. But God said, don't do that. If it doesn't belong to you, leave it alone. Don't bother. Pretty simple. Paperclip. Or a 747. If you take one, you're committing the same sin. Just don't do it. That's what God says here. Makes it real simple. Don't do it. Verse 16, you shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. Again, that destroys relationships. Destroys people when lies are told. And lies are acceptable today. Exaggerations are acceptable today. Nobody questions it. I often thought, as I was watching some of the debates, I would say, you know, one of the rules should be when you come out here, you cannot, under any circumstances, tell a lie or fabricate. The stage would be empty. That's acceptable. That's a shame. That's our leaders. And we, as a country, accept their lies. Yeah, that's politics. No, that's a lie. God says here, don't do that. Don't say something if it isn't true. We know that. We're Christian, right? We already know that. We don't do that. Verse 17, you shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is in, that is your neighbor's. That's tough. Because what if your neighbor's got all kinds of better stuff than you got? Everything he's got is better. I remember growing up without all of the good things the other kids had. You probably have the same story. My friends all had new bikes. I had to build one out of several junk bikes because I didn't have the money to buy one. My friends had new or really nice clothes to wear. I had clothes from a secondhand store. Or with 10 brothers, if there was anything left by the time the one above me got through with it. So I was glad to go to the secondhand store. At least the clothes were somewhat together. My friends had new toys to play with. I got my toys from the city dump. My friends had nice big houses with their own bedroom. I lived in a small house, wasn't so nice, sharing a bedroom and a bed with two of my older brothers, so you know what that meant. But I wouldn't change a thing. Not one thing. I have a large family that learned we could be happy without all of the new shiny stuff. That wasn't what it was about. It bothered me, and I'm sure it bothered my brothers and sisters, but not enough to, you know, control us. But having a large family, and we weren't the Waltons, weren't anywhere close to the Waltons, but we loved each other, we got along with each other. So there's nothing I would change. Today I've been blessed with a great wife, three loving children, and six of the best grandsons on the planet. Things have changed. I still wear used clothes. But they're not hand-me-downs from nine brothers. I still live in a small house. I don't get my toys at the dump, and the only reason is because they won't allow you to go to the dump anymore to get anything. So now we call it yard sales. And I do now, for the first time in my life, have a new bike. Brand new. Hangs in my shed. I'm afraid to ride it. Just got too old. And I refuse, and I apologize to the young people here, but I refuse to wear a helmet when I'm riding a bicycle. That's not what boys do. Back in my day. But I'm sure some of you can describe your life the same way. Things that we thought might have been important back then, we learn through God's calling that not important. We've got a good life. May not be rich, but we're certainly happy and we're certainly blessed. But you and I just returned from God's Feast of Tabernacles in the last great day. You tell me how it gets any better than that. It can't get any better than that. Hopefully, we all grew spiritually during the 8-day period. But the one thing we need to do, and it begins with me, is we need to get serious about our calling during this next year. We can't put it off another day. Tomorrow's going to come. We know that. Let's prepare ourselves for that. Let's forgive each other. That's on you and me. Nobody else. We can't blame. If we won't forgive someone, we can't blame any other human being on this planet except us. It's on us. Let's love each other as Jesus Christ said to do. Are we hearing Him? That was a directive from the one who gave His life for you and I. Love one another. Get over it. Move on. And love one another. Lift each other up. Let's all honor our commitment to our Creator God to the very best of our ability. And will we fall on our face? You bet we will. But if the rest of you are there to lift me back up when I fall, I'll be there to lift you up when you fall. That's how it works. And God will always be there to lift us up. But we've got a year now. Yeah. Until the next Feast of Tabernacles. God has given us instruction. He's given us fellowship. He's helped us to see what He has planned for us in a clearer way. Helped us to understand things maybe we didn't understand so clearly before we were at the feast. But brethren, God wants you and I to be in His kingdom. He's called us to be there. He's given us boundaries. He's given us direction. Gives us all of the help we need. It's on our shoulders to make those changes today instead of tomorrow. And to seek God's help. And to appreciate our calling, to appreciate our Creator God, and to appreciate each other. So let's take what we learned from the feast. Let's use that every day to evaluate me, and you evaluate you. Let's see how this year goes. Let's work together with God. And I think we'll all be amazed at the growth that will take place if we put all the effort that we can muster up into growing in our faith, in our commitment, in our love toward God and toward each other. So it's good to be back. Very nice to be back with all of you. It seems like sometimes we're gone so long. Can't remember when the last time we were here, but just appreciate every time we can get here to Grand Rapids to be with everybody, and certainly enjoy playing well, and certainly looking forward to seeing all of you in the talent show. I will be the audience, I guarantee that.